This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
World on WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And anytime during the show, you can give us a call at 866-823-1077. We'd love to hear of a new place that may be opening up, or a new place that you've eaten at, or a recipe you'd like to share, or if you just want to chat with us. Again, the number is 866-823-1077. We'd also like to welcome our live audience here to the Beacon Building in downtown Manchester at 814 Elm Street. Come on down and have lunch at Midtown Cafe, and you can come and watch the show. Also, we're on Facebook. You can go to Food for Thought with Carol, and you can check out all our upcoming shows and past shows and interactive pictures. And you know what I even did today?
What'd you do?
Well, I went to the gym again today.
Yes. Yay!
Which is great. I'm like totally in my mode.
You really are.
Made my soup last night, my cabbage soup. That's the stuff. You know why I like it?
And did it taste good? Why? Because it's filling?
I like it because you can have all you want of it.
Oh, okay.
Although I did alter the recipe a little bit, but I'll tell you that after. But what I did this morning, and Facebook people will, you know, maybe you'll like it. I don't know. But I thought my social media girl says, you know, it would be really nice if, you know, when you do go to the gym, you can take a picture of yourself at the gym. And I'm like, I am not taking a picture of myself at the gym.
Right. Yes.
But while I was there, I'm like, I guess it might be kind of good. And then we can kind of see over the weeks, maybe what, you know, how I transform possibly.
Yes, yes.
So I'm in there and I'm like, okay, how do I do this? Because over at Integrity, you can go when they're not open. You have your little flash key.
Oh.
Your pass key. Yeah.
Okay.
Flash
yep.
key.
Oh, and, flash key sounds that's even a great more benefit. Exciting. Yeah.
Because I was there at like a little past 7. So, you know, I was in there and I'm by myself. I'm like, all right, how do I do this? So I just had the machines behind me and I just kind of.
So you did a selfie at the gym.
I did.
That's
so
excellent.
So you can go to Facebook and you can check that out. But anyway, so how are you girls?
Doing very great. Well, how are you? You are like a power machine.
Busy
today.
Woman this morning.
I have not stopped.
Yeah.
I can't even.
That's probably good.
Well, it is good. And, you know, I seem to, when I'm like that, I get more done. I seem to be a little bit more productive, but I could probably tone it down just a little bit.
Okay.
Just a little bit.
Just take that breath. But it sounds like that good first morning workout got you off onto a good note.
Just meetings and, you know, Londonderry and the show. And, you know, my dad has had his surgery. So I've been, you know, chatting with him a bit and his doctor's appointments and, you know, when your parents get a little older, you got to, you know, be a little bit more involved in it, and which is all good. You know, everything's good. He's got his support at home, and so that's all good.
Excellent.
So anyway.
Yeah, it helps keep all of those things, because we always have all of these things in the periphery. There's work, and there's family commitments, and there's all these other things going on. But to make sure that you have that good perspective, a good workout, and taking care of yourself helps to set that tone. Because there's always going to be those weird circumstances that kind of throw you off your day or threaten to.
Totally.
And so to resist it as much as possible is fantastic.
Yes. You have to take care of yourself. And my husband always says, you know, to me, to the children, everyone, a happy mommy equals happy family.
Exactly, right?
Yep. So take that the time to take care of yourself, and everyone else around you will be happier too.
Because in the middle of all this morning, okay, my daughter calls. And of course, you know, I have 3 grandchildren. With my daughter, I have 2. And my son is the other one. And she calls and she's like, Mom, how's it going? And I'm doing like 3 things at the same time.
Yes.
I'm getting ready for a conference call. Yep. I have somebody waiting in the conference room for a meeting. My account controller is waiting for me for that meeting. I have to get, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh. I go, nothing, Don. Everything's
fine.
What's up? Oh, well, Alex has her last basketball game tonight in Nashua. Can you go at 6:00? And I'm like, no, I can't do that. I'm just like, which now, bad Nana, I have not been to any of Alexandra's basketball games.
Oh.
So she's a little upset with me, but she's going to have to get over it.
Yeah.
I'm just too busy.
Bake her a basketball cake
like,
or something.
Think about, you know, it's just too much.
To fit in, yes. Yeah, unfortunately, some of those things have to kind of be reshuffled.
Yeah, they just tricky. Do. They do. But anyway. Yeah.
Well, sponsors. We're talking about taking care of other people. We want to thank the people that are taking care of us. And Food for Thought is brought to you by New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought, newenglandcoffee.com. Also by Celeste Oliva at 75 South Main Street in Concord, celesteoliva.com, your source for the freshest premium extra virgin olive oils and balsamic vinegars. And added to their line is now fresh pasta and honey. Red Arrow Diners in Manchester, Milford, and now open with a drive-thru in Londonderry. RedArrowDiner.com. Belmont Hall and Restaurant at 718 Grove Street in Manchester. BelmontHall.net for top quality foods made fresh for over 50 years. Integrity Health Coaching Solutions in Bedford and Londonderry. IntegrityFit.com, your coaching solutions company. And Express Jewelry Center at 44 North Main Street in Concord. ExpressJewelryNH.com for precision repair and sales.
Very nice.
Yes. Yes, yes.
So, I was looking at my email too this morning, and a reporter from the Derry News, the Derry News, he sent me this beautiful article. It was like a link to the article in the Derry News on the New Red Arrow.
Oh, very nice.
Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, that's exciting.
That was so nice of him.
It's kind of like having a new baby, isn't it? Because
mm-hmm.
you
totally
get all of these
is.
Birth announcements. Like, you send out some announcements. Everybody knows it's happening. And then you get all these special congratulations and gifts pour in and articles. And
yeah,
you know.
It's true. And they even took like 8 pictures.
Nice.
That, you know, scroll through.
The
and
baby
it's
pictures.
Cool. The
yeah.
baby pictures.
The baby pictures of Londonderry.
Speaking of the baby, yes. going to be arriving soon again.
Ooh. And we were talking about the baby. We're referring to Amanda.
Amanda.
Your right hand here at
Control
corporate.
Center
yes.
at corporate that is not here at the moment. But Lee is doing a fantastic job.
She is.
You should have seen Lee and I this morning in the meeting. It was with insurance people. And, you know, that's what Amanda does. Mm-hmm. And Lee and I are not too, you know, but we're trying to look like we know what we're doing.
Kill him with confidence, right?
Fake it till you make
but,
it.
Oh, man. Poor Lee. You know, somebody says something and it's like, yeah, I can do that. Sure, no problem. And you go to Amanda's computer and yeah. it's pretty cute.
It all goes back to attitude, doesn't it?
Because it totally does.
I think I met her for that first day that she was coming in as Amanda was going out
in
on
labor.
Maternity leave. Yes. And Lee just had that attitude of she did not look ruffled. She was pleasant and looked like, okay, whatever it is, bring it and yeah. I'll handle it.
Yeah, and that's what we've been doing.
Beautiful.
It's been going good. You know what today's food holiday was? Tracy and I have already talked about it. And at first, I didn't know what it was.
Okay.
I didn't know what it was,
yep.
but it's National Cheese Doodle Day.
Cheese doodles? I have a great story about
I think it's
cheese
very
doodles.
Interesting, though, that so she funny. Did not know what cheese doodles are.
I know.
Wow.
She had to ask.
That is like, you know, honestly, I do not like cheese doodles.
What do you mean you don't like them? I thought you didn't know what they were.
Well, at first, when I looked at it, I'm like, national cheese. You know what I was thinking of when I was reading Cheese Doodle earlier? I was thinking of like a tuna wiggle thing.
Oh, like that we were talking about before. Yeah, the
I'm
wiggle.
Like, cheese doodle.
Yeah.
What is a cheese doodle?
Oh,
but
gosh.
Okay,
I
so
do
you
know
did
what
know what they are.
I know what they are now. I
didn't realize that there was a
I wasn't day. Thinking that that's what they were, but I don't like cheese doodles.
Okay.
You know, we can. I want to hear your
yes,
story.
Yes, I will save doodles. My story until after we talk to this caller.
But we have Sharla on the phone.
Oh, excellent.
Celeste Oliva. Hi, Sharla.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing very well. How are you?
Good. Carol's inspiring me. I've actually started working out again.
Yay!
No way.
Awesome.
That is so cool. Oh, my gosh. I'm so proud of you, Sharla.
And how do you feel?
I feel great.
Do you feel like even more energized and focused?
Yeah, actually, I do. I feel more energized and focused, and my husband actually has been doing it with me as well.
Very nice. Now, are you the type of person that likes to work out in the morning or in the afternoon, like after work?
I actually would prefer to work out in the morning, but I just don't have time.
Yeah.
So I do it after work.
So you do it after work. See, I like to get mine, like, over with. So Michelle and I have been kind of trying to do a buddy thing and she can only do it in the afternoon. And But today she was going to be a little bit earlier and whatever. But so I put mine in this morning. So, well, good for you. I'm so happy for you. And for listeners that are listening, this is Sharla, that is the owner of Celeste Oliva over on South Main Street. And she's the one that we talk about all the time with the delicious extra premium virgin olive oils and balsamic vinegars, and now your line of pastas and honey. Mm-hmm. And how is the pastas going?
They're actually selling very well. A lot of people, I've been selling a lot of them. I'm actually going to have to make another order.
That is great. Wow. Oh, my gosh.
And you know what's funny, Charlotte, is that it's funny that you called, because I was just about to launch into a discussion about, I think there are less nights that I don't use your olive oil to cook than there are. Wait, what? I use your olive oil almost every night.
We know what you
like
meant.
Last night we were doing sirloin tips, and even just to grease the broiling pan, I did the olive oil infused with garlic, so that they pick up a little extra of that flavor. Yeah. And then, of course, I put that on the meat directly, and it was amazing. It was just so good. So any other extra place to sneak in that flavor is great.
Well, you know what I even did when I made my soup, my cabbage soup that I can eat all the time with all the vegetables, I put in the balsamic fig-infused, balsamic vinegar with the fig-infused into my soup.
You did?
I did it when I was sautéing all the vegetables. Yeah. It was delicious, Sharla.
That is neat.
I think she's busy.
She,
I think she has customers. Can you hear the customers?
I do have a customer.
You
so
do.
I'm gonna
right.
have
well,
to go.
We're going
to
let you go. We're
going to
let you go.
Thanks for calling
Thank
in.
You.
We'll keep talking about you anyway.
Yeah, we're talking about you.
All right, bye.
Bye.
But oh, yeah, she is good.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Like a different flavor.
Yes. Well, it would have to. Cabbage soup. Tell me about cabbage soup. I don't understand. Well, no, and we're not getting on the soup
thing.
You did send me a picture. But, like, it looked very delicious because there were colors in it. And when you say cabbage soup, I picture weak water and cabbage floating in it.
Yes.
So tell me how this was made.
What it really is, and you know what? I just want to make reference to what you just talked about, your steak tips, tips you made last night.
Yes.
Yep. She sent me a picture of those. And they looked absolutely delicious. They looked very, very good.
Yeah.
So,
thank you.
So I just wanted to make
Well, I should have sent
that.
You a picture of the pizza I made with the caramelized onions we discussed. I feel left out.
So good. The caramelized onions. Really, I love those. Oh, I could just eat a bowl of those.
Oh my gosh.
Yum.
All right, then.
Cheese doodles.
Okay. Well, now, we keep going in these tangents, but now I'm excited about the onions, and I was going to ask. My mother makes creamed onions. I've never, like, the little pearl onions, and people do that a lot. I have never brought myself to actually taste them because it seems gross. Like, you've got these round onions floating in a cream sauce.
I probably would stay away from it just because of the cream sauce. But I have worked with pearl onions, and I like them.
You do?
Yeah.
But that's like a side dish. Like, it's not a sauce that goes on something. It's just you eat the onions in the cream sauce.
That wouldn't be very appealing.
I would like it.
I
would like it. Yeah.
It must taste good because people, you know, get excited when she brings it to family gatherings and things like that.
I want to hear the cheese doodle story.
Okay.
It's cheese doodle day.
All right.
We can talk about my soup later.
Your soup? I know. Okay. All right. Well, it's not even that big of a story, but it's one that has been alive in our family for like 15 years. When Mark and I were dating, there was a day and we were playing. There's a game called Spit, a card game.
Oh.
And it's very, do you know Spit?
I know of it.
Okay.
Yes.
And it can get rather heated because speed is involved in the speed that you slap the cards down. And and apparently I can be a little competitive. Why are you both laughing and looking knowingly?
We're just giggling.
A little competitive. And so we had played game upon game and I taught him the game, which makes the stakes even higher. He beat me, and it was only by a hair at the very end after we had played several hands, and he had this big bag of cheese doodles, and I took my fist. Mind you, we're dating, and I smashed those cheese doodles till it was like a weird powder. He fell over laughing and somehow went on to still marry me anyway.
And
but
I was going to say, and you're married?
Yes. Cheese doodles do not make it into our home. Not long ago, I dropped off in his car a pack of playing cards and a box of, or not a box, a bag of cheese doodles. And I said, rematch.
That's so cute. Yeah.
But that's my cheese doodle story. But before that, it's one of those weird foods that you would never, like, you don't want to admit to eating. because there's just nothing to it. It's this puff of greasy cheese powder. There's no
all over your
and all over your fingers.
Yes.
But eat two of them and then stop.
I don't like them.
I can eat one,
and I don't like them. I really don't. I don't
maybe
see
you're not
what
eating
people
them right.
Like about them. No. I think they're ridiculous. I just don't
wow.
like them.
Somebody's going to call in just for that reason.
Yeah. Your son?
My son, Jesse,
yeah.
liked them.
Yeah.
And I mean, poor Jesse. He used to eat them. And whenever he ate anything, he'd yeah. get it from ear to ear. So yeah. his face was like, he looked like a clown. He had orange
they
like,
are
all
incredibly
over his face.
Messy. Yes. You can't. Was it one of those foods that you send your kid into the other room to eat then? Because there's one of the foods that my son likes, and I cannot tolerate them eating it around me.
I don't like it.
No, it's disgusting. Sardines. What 11-year-old kids? No. Well, I'm thinking, is that like that? Sardines. Did you send Jesse off into the other room?
No,
with
because
his
it's
cheese
messy,
doodle?
And I'd keep him at the kitchen.
So you just made an exit and went somewhere else. Sardines and saltines. He thinks that is adorable. I don't know where
the can
he got
of sardines.
Yes. And so he'll take sardines on the saltine crackers, and Mark will do it with him. Ugh. And I don't know why this 11-year-old kid likes this. But just the thought of this little tiny fish with its head, it is disgusting. I can't tolerate it. And so Dustin will go to the store with me and say, Mom, we need some sardines. I'm like, no, I'm not buying them. You'll have to go with your father sometime because I refuse.
You know, it's funny. I used to like sardines.
You did?
I did. Now I don't think I could eat them. But I did.
How did you eat them?
I ate them out of the can.
Just out of the can. Just whole.
Probably the same age as your son. I'm telling you, I used to eat them.
How did you get into liking them? Who introduced
you to
sardines?
I have no idea. I do not remember, but I remember opening. Remember the little key thing?
Yes,
like,
yes.
The little thing, you know, you twirl it, twirls in, you know, and I'm telling you, I used to eat them. And
why did he try them for the first time? Was it a dare?
No, I think it was, there was some story or some, you know, book on tape thing, and he heard about sardines and saltines, and it was made into this little song. And so Mark, of course, indulged him, and you know,
oh, yeah, let's do this.
Disgusting. And then the smell, and then they'll leave it on the counter. No.
Oh, dear. All right, we need to take a break.
Yeah.
We're like way over. We like just want
too much fun.
We are on a roll.
I think you all picked up my,
energy.
Something. But you are listening to Food for Thought. We are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street. You can give us a call at any time, 866-823-1077. We're going to go on a short break, and when we come back, we are going to hear from Burt's Better Beers. So stay tuned.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 1077 The Pulse.
Further ado, let's welcome Bert Bingle of Bert's Better Beers.
Well, thank you for having me today.
Yes, we're very, very anxious to talk to you. Excited. So let us know a little bit about Bert's Better Beers.
Well, Bert's Better Beers is a specialty beer shop, and we're in Hooksett, New Hampshire. We carry a very large line of craft beer, local beer, imported beers, meads and ciders.
Meads also.
Meads, yes.
Oh, Meads. M-E-A-D-S. Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
Now, when you refer to meads, mm-hmm. what exactly is meads?
Well, mead is technically a wine, but it's made primarily with honey instead of grape as the fermentable. So it's very, very sweet. And, you know, it's certainly as flavorful as any grape wine.
See, it's I did also, not know that.
It's also the world's oldest fermented beverage.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it brings to mind that medieval kind of time. And
Vikings and horns and that kind of thing.
Yes.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. That does. So now, clearly, I'm kind of stuck now because I'm on meads, but mm-hmm. we when we talk about Bert's Better Beers, mm-hmm. beer is such a hot trend now. And it's not just the beer, as we've said before. You watch any TV show, the person walks in and says, give me a beer. Now that can't happen because you have so many different types of beer. And within that, not only are there different flavors and flavor blends, but you've got lager, you've got ale, mm-hmm. you've got all of these things. It is not a simple thing. It's a nice thing. You can be very adventurous. But can you tell us a little bit, maybe some of the background of beer and then what the differences are between ales and lagers, those kinds of things?
Well, you know, beer is, of course, you know, next to meat, one of the oldest fermented beverages. And, you know, you can trace its roots all the way back to Mesopotamia and the Sumerians. Matter of fact, the pyramids were built on beer. That's pretty much what the people drank. It was more like a slurry then, and it was more like a food-based item as far as that goes. And then, you know, throughout history, there's been a lot of fermented and beverages as far as that goes that they called beer. And particularly in the Middle Ages and such, they would have to drink these beverages because they couldn't drink water. You know, if you drank the water, you got sick.
Right.
But if you drank these beverages that you made, for some reason, they were better. And the reason it was because during the fermentation process, there's some natural going on where it kills the bacteria, so it becomes safe to drink. And back then, beers, of course, were only like maybe 1 or 2% alcohol, and everybody drank beer. Even kids drank beer back then, because it was clean, it was safe to drink, but, you know, it wasn't really a high alcohol beverage. Wines are more of the high alcohol beverages. And then you come into modern times, and now there's just, you know, beer has become a social beverage, a beverage of choice, as far as people going out and enjoying a meal or a social event, that kind of thing. And there are many, many different styles of beer. I mean, we could go into all kinds of different sub-levels. But, you know, under the broad category of beer, pretty much you have two things that they fall under: ales and lagers.
Okay.
Now, those are primarily how they're made. Now, and beer is always made with water, yeast, malt, and hops. But it's the differences in how it's processed that makes it, whether it's an ale or a lager. And primarily it has to do with the type of yeast that you use. An ale yeast ferments at a higher temperature. Let's, you know, say about 50, 55 degrees Fahrenheit. That's where the yeast, which is a little animal, and it consumes the sugars and makes the alcohol. So the little yeasties, and they're like 50 degrees, and they work very quickly, and they can make a fermentation process in about 10 days. So the beers can be made rather quickly. Lagers, though, the lager yeasts, they ferment at a very low temperature, sometimes right around freezing.
Wow.
So it takes a lot longer for that fermentation process to happen. So, you know, good lagers can take 3-4 months to make. And you can taste that, you know, in the difference between an ale and lager. Some ales will have a more bready, full-bodied taste to it, and then lagers, a more crisper, cleaner taste to it. And then there are subcategories that come out from there.
Now, what about dark beer versus lighter beer? Like, what category would mm-hmm. the dark beer go under, for instance?
Well, dark beers are, you know, stouts, porters, brown ales, that kind of thing. And, you know, light beers, you know, pilsners, pale ales, you know, the lagers. And the difference to that is the type of malt that is used. You know, and malt is essentially a cereal. It's a grain. And what they do is they dry it. And because it's a sugar, when they dry it, they heat it up. And as you heat sugar, you know, it caramelizes. So, and when you caramelize, it gets darker. So you more caramelize the grains, the darker the beer. Now, in stouts, they're black. Those grains have been almost burnt. And that lends that black color, a little bit of coffee notes, some bitterness to it.
So like a Guinness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Guinness would be a stout.
All right. Mm-hmm. Do you like Guinness?
I don't. I don't tend to like the stronger or the darker. I'm a real mm-hmm. kind of a fruity light, you know.
You know what, though? I tend to like the fruity ones, too.
Yeah.
But Guinness really isn't that heavy tasting. I like it. I like that when you do the black and tan.
Yes.
I do enjoy that.
It is a misconception. Everybody thinks that Guinness is a very big,
exactly.
dark, strong beer. It's actually not. It's
try it.
Guinness, okay. Guinness is a dark beer, to be sure, and it's got the dark coffee flavors, uh-huh. roasted flavors, but it's typically only about 4.75% alcohol. So it's actually less than a lot of American light lagers.
Okay. And so taste-wise, it's not what you would envision when you look at it. Because, yes, I tend to look at the darker ones and think, oh, that's going to be heavy. I need a spoon to...
No.
And it's going to be bitter.
Not in all cases, but there are stouts that you stick a spoon in and it'll stay.
And it'll stay, yeah. Yes. We're talking with Bert Bingle of Bert's Better Beers. And let's talk maybe a little bit about the things that you've brought for us today.
Well, what I did is I did bring some selections from the shop. One of the things that we pride ourselves at Bert's Better Beers is we're very New Hampshire-centric as far as that goes. If it's a New Hampshire product and if they put it in a bottle or a can, I want to have it on the shelves at the shop.
That's great.
And I brought some things along with this. Matter of fact, we're gonna start off with the stout.
Oh, okay.
So I brought all the product that I brought today is all made in New Hampshire. Right now, we're going to be sampling Millie's Oatmeal Stouts. We got a little Manchester going on here, and this beer won the World Beer Cup Award.
Wow, World
Yes,
Beer Cup.
That's
was
huge.
About 10 years ago, but it's still a huge thing.
Yeah.
And we're going to open this now.
Okay, I would think that's a big accomplishment.
Now you notice that sounded like a can.
Yeah.
Yes, because it is. Cans are a huge trend right now. Can technology has changed so much. It's not your grandfather's can where it tasted like aluminum. They've really got it down to the point where got that technology where you can't really tell the difference between the can product and a bottle product or a draft product.
Interesting.
Now this is an oatmeal stout. Now you can see it's nice and dark, good color to it. The head is nice tan to it.
Mm-hmm.
The aroma...
It does smell nice.
Nice, now, roasty kind of coffee. But he also uses oatmeal in it. It's a type of stout where oatmeal, of course, has got sugars in it. And in the brewing process, they add the oatmeal, and the heat extracts the sugars and sweetens the beer a little bit more, takes some of the edge off some of the darker aspects of the stout. Can make for a very nice sweet beer.
So it's interesting, as you sip it, the first little sip is, it's like a mellow and it's smooth. Mm-hmm. But the part that gets me is that same feeling I have with some of the other dark beers, is that the after, it's a little, for me, it's a stronger taste.
Yes, you're getting a little bit of an acrid finish to it, and that's, you know, pretty much what goes on with stouts. You're going to get a little bit of that acrid finish to it. That's very typical of the style.
But it is a very smooth, I mean, it's a dark color, but it's a smooth flavor as you're sipping.
I think it's delicious. It's really good.
Yeah, and you can do a number of things. I mean, of course, people use stouts as a base for soups, stews, for example. What we like to do sometimes, particularly with stouts in the summertime, is we'll drop a small melon ball scoop ice cream in it and make a float.
Really?
Ooh,
a beer float?
Yep.
That's
cool.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
We have an ice cream social every year, and we do a lot of mixing and pairings with ice cream and beer, and people are amazed. They're like, I didn't know this would work like that.
Right. Yeah, that's a very different thing to do. Absolutely.
Yes,
now, when you were both talking about cooking, with stout and to adding that with stews, can you pretty much, do you really need to know a lot about what you're doing, or can you just add some to your stew and it's just going to be great?
Well, you just
or is there a lot of...
Nope, you just add it as a liquid ingredient to your recipe, and it certainly, it's going to make it darker, it's going to make it thicker, you know, it's going to add
more
flavorful
add
to it,
yeah.
Nice. We see a lot of people that come in and they just want to buy one bottle of Guinness, and I say, oh, you're making stew, huh?
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
And you can do that at Bert's Better Beers.
That's correct. You can't make the stew. You can buy the beer.
You could bring you stew. Yes.
Yeah, people do.
Yes. Well, in fact, when I had visited Bert's, one of the things I think they encourage folks to do is to try a bottle of this, a bottle of that, so that you can really get a good taste sampling of what you might like and discover some new things.
Absolutely. That's one of the best parts about our place, is that people come in and they can just, put together their own little selections, try something new, put together some favorites, expand their palate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very exciting. People really enjoy it.
think it's, yeah.
It is. It's a lot of fun. And all the different flavors and the things that now are blended as far as beer flavors. I mean, blueberry and chocolates and, I mean, any kind of fruit or berry gets blended in as a flavor.
In the last few years, it's become anything goes. Mm-hmm. If you can put it into the mash, it's going to go in there. We've seen everything from chili peppers, oysters.
Yes, oysters. I saw that. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is that? I mean, do you really kind of taste? I mean,
it's some oyster stouts are actually made with oysters, and what that does is it gives it that nice little oyster meatiness flavor to it, and then a little mineral salt finish at the end because they also put oyster shells into the brewing process.
Because you know when you taste this one, you said it has oatmeal in it.
That one has oatmeal.
You almost can. You know, taste that rich kind of, you know, oatmeal kind of taste, you know, when you, yeah, it's really good.
Very good. So we need to do some more sampling.
Okay, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to open up. This is from the 603 Brewing, and they're down in Londonderry, New Hampshire. They're one of the newest ones on the scene. This is also a can. A lot of cans coming out these days. This is their Amber Ale. Now, amber ale is, like we talked about, that top fermenting yeast.
Mm-hmm. That's one that ferments more quickly than... Okay.
I love how he does that.
I know, right? The good sound effects. And I also appreciate that you explained, because most people did learn to become can snobs, and we're not going to drink anything out of the can. But you said things have changed quite a bit, and it does not take on that tinny flavor.
No,
that used to make it a very cheap taste in years ago.
And there are so many advantages to being in a can than in a bottle.
Like?
For one, that it doesn't get light struck. Everybody talks about skunking. Mm-hmm. And what skunking is that ultraviolet light has an adverse effect on certain molecules in the beer. And if it's out in the sun too long, it breaks apart those molecules, and one of those components is sulfur. And so you open it up, you put a Budweiser out in the sun for about 10 minutes and then sniff it, and you're going to have this huge sulfur aroma. And that's because the ultraviolet light's having an adverse effect on it. That's why you see brown bottles instead of clear bottles, because brown bottles block the ultraviolet light. Aluminum, though, blocks 100% of the light.
Uh-huh.
So you don't have to worry about being light struck. Cans are also 33% lighter than glass. So there's also, handling, transportation cost as far as that goes. Glass is an insulator. Metal is a conductor. Uh-huh. It gets colder in a can than it does in a bottle. You can also crush them, pack them in, and pack them out.
Right.
So becoming very, very popular amongst skiers, hikers, boaters, people going to pool parties, that kind of thing. I mean, we've got our can section is growing quite a bit, and we have a lot of people looking specifically for cans.
Well, Bert, thank you so much for coming on Food for Thought.
Well, thank you very much for having me today.
It's been a great experience.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. We are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. You have plenty of time to come on down and have some lunch at Midtown Cafe. You can come and watch the show. We'd also love to hear from you. The number to call us at is 866-823-1077. And so what's up, girls?
Well, I'm still intrigued by, you were talking about this cabbage soup, which looked, from the picture that you sent, much more colorful than one would envision a cabbage soup to be. Is this something, and I know that you cook without recipes, that you kind of just combine things. Is this one of those, or did you have a set formula for what you were going to do with the soup? And is it better tasting than it sounds?
It is definitely better tasting than it sounds.
Okay.
And I did, like I said earlier, I did kind of make a little twist to it, a little twerk to it. What the cabbage soup is, it's the Weight Watcher recipe cabbage soup. And when you're, I've been a rejoin of Weight Watchers like many times, like I think a lot of us, but anyway, I'm sure Rocco doesn't like to hear that. So the Weight Watchers cabbage soup is like a 0 point. So you can have as much of it as you want. It's basically, you know, no salt broth, you know, the canned or the box broth, and different vegetables. And cabbage is like one of the main ingredients in it, you know, chopped cabbage. And then chopped cabbage and other vegetables. And then it says to, you know, spray the bottom of your pan with the Pam.
Yep.
And then saute some of your vegetables. Basically add the broth and then, you know, put it at a low simmer until they're all cooked. And there's your cabbage soup. And you can have as much. Oh, and can of diced tomatoes.
Oh, okay. That's what gave it that color.
Yes.
That made it even more visually enticing.
Right. And I, you know, I mean, I didn't use the Pam. I did use my Celeste Oliva olive oil. I mean,
nice
I'm
choice.
Like, you know, I mean, I made it quite a bit. You saw the pot. It was pretty big. So,
good size pot.
I mean, I'm like, oh my goodness, already? Didn't that go by fast?
It went by very fast. We were just enjoying the vision of your soup.
And I added some pasta to it, some whole grain pasta that we've been talking about. I just had to have a little substance to it. So that's my little twist to it.
Nice.
We're at the top of the hour. We will be back with Congdon's Donuts in Wells, Maine. So stay tuned. We're going to hear from them. We'll be right back.